Okay, and I'm pressing record, right? Record on to cloud or computer?
Cloud, please.
Okay.
Recording in progress.
Thank you. Okay, good morning, everybody. So we are, just before we go, Rashi and, not really Rashi, Tosfos versus the Ritva. Is this one that's covered in this Chabura? It looks like not. It looks like, based on the source sheets, it was the Rambam, the Shitas Rambam that you had, right? Okay. So I didn't really get, look at the Rambam. I did notice that in one of the YU Torah journals from the Kol Elyon a couple of years ago, they learned Yevamos. That was the year actually right after the World Trade Center was destroyed. So they actually have tshuvos there that are like one-of-a-kind tshuvos of paskening those shilas from the World Trade Center, from Zalmi Nechemi Goldberg, Vavadi Yosef, and others. But they have, Rabbi Rosenzweig has about a 35-page article, Shitas HaRambam, in this. So I just said,
psh.
Well, yeah. Uh-huh. So Ayin Sham V'Timsa Nachas for those that learned that. But I'd like to try to focus mostly on the Shitas Tosos here, because that is ambiguous. And I remember, and one of Rav Schachter likes to speak about this often. And actually, a piece about this Tosos appears in all three of his Svarim. And I never understood what it was. I figured, all right, in the last one, he actually, I think, deciphers it a little bit more, but still a little unclear. So try to extrapolate on Shitas or Schechter and this. I want to be clear, because what he says is pretty, somewhat shocking. Not the kind of thing that, like, I would say, you know, I would come up with a skittish, I would say, all right, it must be a reason why it's not true, but, you know, you get the, you get that kind of privilege when you're Rav Schechter and people of that ilk. So here we go. So the beginning of the 10th parak here discusses the concept of a woman, husband disappears for whatever reason. So therefore, Mishum, either his boat sank or he disappeared. We don't know where he is. So now the woman shows up to Basin and says, my husband is no longer around. And I have some type of evidence in the case of the Mishnah here. The evidence that she's presenting is that I have one aid that says that he is dead. So that does not seem like that should be sufficient. That's what the Gemara begins by saying here on Pei Zayin Amud Beis, figures out that it must be talking about a case of one aid, but if it was a case of two aidim, so then all the punishments that we would impose against her wouldn't apply. So therefore we're assuming that it, therefore the Gemara assumes that it is one aid. So that leads to the problem. Hey, wait a second, we don't generally accept one aid l'halacha for this type of thing, meaning that you need ein davar shebe'er b'chapach that we're not going to, when it's a davar shebe'er, which is what we're doing here, we're allowing her to go ahead and get remarried based on the assumption that her husband passed away. So we really need to aid them for that. And the Gemara is scratching its head, trying to figure out how is it that we're accepting only these, only this one aid, when generally we require two aid them. Right? That is the setting up for the end of Peches Amud Aleph. Just incidentally, this like is Lemaisa. This is like not the idea of post-Halakha. I gave a shiur a couple of years ago. This was one of these times when I sort of, that sounds like an interesting topic, and let me just schedule a shiur on it to force me to look into it, which wasn't so easy to figure out the material, but once I was able to find some material that just flew, and that was the topic of Agunos after the Holocaust. I mean, what did they do? How did they figure it out? Where are the tshuvos that are written up? So there are tons of stuff out there. You just have to know where to look. So Rav Lazarovsky from the Northeast, so his father, Rav Baruch Lazarovsky, so that was one thing that he was doing. Half the time spent in, when he was the Rav in Munich, was marrying, like doing being Masada Kedushin 15 times a day, and the other half of the day was spent being Matir Agunos. That was his life while being the Rav in Munich. So this happens. In fact, there's a woman here in this neighborhood who used to be in the Wynwood neighborhood. You can figure it's my neighbor, who I once spoke about Aguna on Shabbos, and on the way home from Shul, she said to me, oh, my grandmother was an Aguna. Like, what? What do you mean? Yeah, her husband went away on a business trip, and he disappeared, and his boat sank, and we never knew what happened to him, and the rabbi, the basin of the town, wouldn't let her get remarried. And that was it. So This stuff certainly, Ad Yom HaZeh still comes internally, the World Trade Center, etc. So this stuff certainly still comes into play. So at the end of this, I think in England. But yeah, it was in Europe, but not like Eastern Europe, Western Europe. It was a business situation. But yeah, that was existed. There is a tshuva, one more, which is interesting. There's someone named Vitzal Ilway. He was like a Rav in America in the mid-1800s, like one of the few. He had like what to say about slavery. He gave a drasha on on the day of before the Civil War actually started, there was and before Lincoln took over, Lincoln was inaugurated in March, so in January there was like a day of fast and prayer or something, and all the churches and all the everybody shut down for the day, and everybody gave sermons. So there actually are drushas that were given by Rabbanim that are printed up, and you could search around the internet and find some of this stuff. So there's Rav Tzal Illoway, who lived in Maryland, and he gave a pro-slavery drusha, because he said, what do you mean, the Bible says there should be slaves, how could we say that we're going to be pro-abolitionist? So so the people in Baltimore were angry with him, right? Maryland was a border state, it was a machlokas which way Maryland was going to go, and he actually had to leave town and ended up in New Orleans. So in New Orleans, he has tshuvas that are written in English, actually, that were put to, there's a book out there on Hebrew Books, his English Divrei Torah and Shuvos and things like that. So one of the two things is about that there was somebody in his community who went out on a ship, and the ship sank off the coast of wherever, and based on the evidence available to him, he doesn't have the ability to be mater his wife as an aguna. So we generally hear about the heroic stories, but there are stories where lemaisa ended up being that the woman wasn't able to go ahead and get remarried. So the Gemara here asks, hey, wait a second, at the very end of the story, Peiches Amar Aleph, the Gemara asks, Higufa minal, and where does this come from? So how is it that we end up mattering this woman? Don't we need two edim? So Amar Rabbi Zeir mito chomer sheichmarta aleha besofa hakalas aleha betchila. That because of the chumros that we're going to impose upon her, because of this long list of penalties that appears in the Mishnah, and we make sure that she takes it very seriously, and make sure that everybody's telling the truth, and make sure that both the woman as well as the aid, they know the seriousness of the matter, because of that chumra that we impose upon her, so therefore we're going to be makel on her in the beginning. So Gemara asks, lo leichmer v'lo leichel, so mishum iguna ikula barabban. So because of aguna, because of this, the difficulty of the aguna situation, so the rabbanon were mekel, period. So now, that's left with the question, whoa, how'd that just happen? Right, because of plus there's a rabbinic will, there's a halachic way. Like how did that? What just happened over there? Right, ibishum iguna because of agunos. So the rabbanon were mekel. So is that dindoraisa, dindorabbanon, minhag, takana? Like what does that line mean? That the rabbanon are mekel on the aguna. So before we get to Tosos, and again, I'm not going to try to figure out the Rambam. The Rambam, I think, says multiple things about this topic. We'll do the Shita. Well, there's a Shita of Rashi that I put on here. Yeah, the Shita is Rashi and the Shita of the Ritva. So, and they're both on opposite extremes. So this Rashi does not appear on this daf. Rather, the same comment appears in Maseches Shabbos. And Maseches Shabbos, it says, right? The Gemara asks, how do we know that we accept aid me pi aid when it comes to bechor? The Gemara, the sugya there is about a bechor that a kohen was not just simply allowed to claim that his animal. Right, a bechor is given to the kohen, and if it's supposed to be offered as a korban, if it gets a mum, so then the kohen's allowed to have it himself. So if the kohen's got this animal, so he's wants it to get a mum, so that he'll be able to then shecht and use the animal himself. So there was a takana that was made that he's not allowed to just shecht it and say, oh, the animal had a mum. We don't trust him completely. So rather, he needs some kind of testimony. That some type of aid that's going to testify that no, I saw it. There was a mum kavua and it was certified or whatever. So the Gemara there comments that would you accept aid mipi aid? And the Gemara says, well, aid echa that one aid would be used. No, I'm sorry, I'm looking at the wrong line here. Rabbi Ami Asi Shari. So Amrlei Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asi ba'atanat ve'menasha in aid mipi aid kasher el edus bisha bilvat. Says wait a second. How do you permit a aid mipi aid? Don't we have a brisa that says that this aid mipi aid is only permitted by Edus Isha. So Emel Edus She Isha Kashira La Bilvat. So say that that for the Edus that a woman would be kasher. That's the only one that it's responsible for. So Vyemar Akshar Ad Eid Mipi Eid La Bechor. He says, oh, he permitted the Eid Mipi Eid by Bechor. So Karel Mimir Yemar Shari Bechor of Hilchasa Eid Mipi Eid Kasher La Bechor. Okay, and that was the conclusion that they had. So Rashi in that comment says, whoa, wait a second. What's this Eid Mipi Eid by Isha? So Rashi says, Lomer Li Isha Meis Balech Dikilu Barabanan Mishum Iguna. To say to a woman that your husband died, dikilu barabanan mishum aguna, that the rabbanan were makil on this because of aguna, v'chol de mekadesh adaita de rabbanan mekadesh v'yafkui rabbanan l'kedushim minei, that all kedushin that is done al das the rabbanan, kedas Moshe v'Yisrael, so we're accepting whatever rules and regulations is imposed upon by the rabbanan, and the rabbanan therefore have the right to pull away, to uproot the kedushin. So what does it mean? So why are we makel by Eidus Isha? So it sounds like it's just a rule. And it sounds like that's just a din derabanan. The derabanan were mishum iguna ikula barabanan. The derabanan were makel. And in this type of situation where only one aid is showing up, so one aid is going to show up, and because he is a... but because we want to be makel on the woman, we'll allow her to remarry based on that one aid. Hey, wait a second. But Doraisa, she's still married to husband number one, right? How's that working? We're going to say, oh, well. So the Gemara says, well, the Rabbanan always have this in their back pocket, right? The trump card, right? There's Hefker Beis, and Hefker is the trump card in Choshen Mishpat. And in Evan Ezra, the trump card is what's it called? Rashi just says Afkui Rabbanon the Kedushin. The Rabbanon could just uproot the Kedushin, and that's how we're going to resolve the issue. Afkana Rabbanon Kedushin, the Rabbanon remove it, and that's just a trick that the Rabbanon are able to pull. So right, so that's interesting. Perhaps it's interesting in the modern context as well about how to use Hafkas Kedushin Bizman Azeh. Rashi is somewhat of a Das Yachid on it. The Hafkas Kedushin in the Gemara itself is relegated to very, very few cases that follow a very specific pattern. That Rashi is considered somewhat explosive in the rule, in the realm of being Matir Agunos. But Rashi seems to be saying that straight up, Din Derabanan, we're going to be Makel because the Rabbanan felt bad for these Agunos. That seems what he had said. I'm not going to focus anymore on the Shita's Rashi. On the other extreme is the Shita of the Ritva. So the Ritva, and this Gemara is right, they're all bothered by the same question, right? We just spent the whole Gemara here figuring out that you need to aid them. So why are we all of a sudden being Makel at the end and allowing one aid? So says the Ritva. So Venira Luri, the Leis Le Lun, I'm looking the wrong line, sorry, Ritva. Third thing down. V'yesh lomer tkim l'hu l'rabbanan. I think this is actually, I saw elsewhere this is actually quoted in the Shita as the Shita of the Ra'ah, which is this Rebbe. So v'yesh lomer tkim l'hu l'rabbanan to b'milsa v'idil l'gluye she'chmira aleha b'sofa kolkach, that the Rabbanan established that by something that is avidil l'gluye, something that's going to become recognizable, meaning at some point, if this guy is still alive, he's going to show up in town, so the Rabbanan are going to be machmir at the end. So vaday kushta kamasid. So therefore, it's with difficulty that they're going to give this testimony. The chidaiko mitzvah bedin mitzvah. And therefore, they're going to be very careful about it. But anan sadi b'milsa, and it's almost like an anan sadi, like we witness it. Upirsum kazen nechshav b'chol makom ke'edus gemura v'afilu midoraisa. And says the Ritva that this type of investigation is the equivalent of full edus gemura, even on a level of doraisa. So this is a massive chiddush in the other direction, right? That generally we think of edus as you require two edim. So why do we require two edim? Well, there's even a pasuk in the Torah that talks about two edim, right? Al shnayim edim yakum davar. So says the Ritva, yeah, that's not the only way. That's not like a gzeiras hakasav, two edim and nothing else. That's like a standard. So if you can achieve that standard in other ways, says the Ritva, that's good enough. So how do you achieve that standard? Well, one aid's not going to achieve that standard. But if we could scare the heck out of that one aid, we could scare the heck out of the person who's going to benefit from that one aid, to the point that they're going to be absolutely, positively sure that they're giving the correct aidus, says the Ritva, that works even on a level of Doraisa. And the Ritva concludes by saying, and this is an example of Masru HaKasuv L'Chachamim. What is that concept? So there are various aspects of Torah. I'm not sure that concept actually appears in the Gemara itself, come to think of it, but the Rishonim certainly speak about that there's various areas of Halacha that the Torah leaves vague. I mean, how are we going to actually accomplish this idea? All right, the Torah says... Cholmoid is the classic example. Avelis as well is the classic example. That both of them are assumed to be dini doraisa, right? The concept of cholmoid is a din doraisa. We're a couple of dafim ahead. We actually made our siyum on moed katan this morning. Thank you. And my rabbi growing up, Rabbi Krauss, I remember him saying commenting at one point that. That he thought Moed Katan was the most difficult Masechta in all of Shas. I told you this, right? Because you're not playing with the same principles that you normally play with in others. Because you what's a Dindo Raisa? What's a Dindo Rabbanan? Everything gets mixed together. Because the Rishonim, right in the beginning of Moed Katan, I think the Ran, like right in the beginning, asks the question of, how is it possible if you're going to assume that Moi cut that these are Dini Deoraisa, so how will we allow all these kulas in under Hefsid Meruba and Davara Avid and all these types of things? How do they get in? The same thing with Avelis, right? We're very mach, we're not allowed to put any makeup on. Oh, but if you're a young lady who's looking to get married, then we make, like, what? We don't generally allow that by Dini Deoraisa. So rather he... I forget if he develops the concept or it's picked up from other places, but this concept of Masu HaTorah L'Chacham, that there's various halachos in the Torah that were left ambiguous, and the Chachamim define it. It doesn't mean it's a Din D'Rabbanan. It's not a Din D'Rabbanan. It's a Din D'Oraisa, but it's a Din D'Oraisa as defined by the Rabbanan. So there is a Tosfos in the beginning.
How would you which pasuk would you say in this case is left ambiguous? That's what I'm wondering. By Chol Moed, so the Torah is vague.
Right.
So Hakas of Masro Chachamim.
Right.
You know, like, which pasuk, it's a little bit harder here.
Well,
which pasuk? The Torah is very specific about what constitutes Eidus.
I'm not sure he's not talking about it. He's talking about evidence. I mean, the idea of a this woman getting married, it's not a din in Eidus, not a Maisa Bastin. I think that's actually what the ritual would argue to you. It's not a Maisa Bastin. It's something that we need to know. Right? It's just something. It's not you need to go to Bastin in order to get a Geirus. Right? You need to. That's not what it is.
Specifically pointing to saying this pasuk is vague. No, it just means the Torah. The Torah is vague.
The Torah is.
I'm just pointing. It's a little bit different than the
It's other a little people. Bit different. Yeah. Okay.
Torah is vague, but what does it mean?
Yeah. We're going to define it as those brachos.
It's a pasuk that is vague. It's just
right. Kiddush Friday night, Zachas Yom HaShavas L'Kachos. So what does that mean? So there's a Tosafot at the beginning of Avodah Zarah. It talks about a Nazir possibly drinking wine at Kiddush. How could that possibly be? Because the Chachamim defined Kiddush as making wine as making Kiddush over wine. So therefore, maybe a Nazir should be allowed to drink wine at Kiddush in order to be able to do that mitzvah. Right. So that's right. So says Levi. Well, what exactly is the pasuk here? So I don't know. I didn't go back that far. Okay. So that is the Shitas HaRitva. And sometimes it's known as the Shitas Chazonish. I'm not sure why, because the Chazonish seems to just be quoting the Shitas HaRitva. It's the section right before the Chazonish that I mentioned below. But that I think is the two extremes. Then you have the Shitas of Tosos in the middle. So Tosos suggests as follows. How are we going to solve this problem? So Nira Luri, and Delis Lan Lemeimar Anan Sadi Didaiku Mitzvah, V'nemen Eid Echad B'kach Minatora, that we're not saying Anan Sadi, that we see it, Daika, and we're careful, and therefore an Eid Echad is Eid Echad B'kach Min HaTorah. He seems to say explicitly, not like the Ritva, meaning he's saying, we're not saying that, and an Eid Echad is going to believe with this Doraisa. Ela mi Tekanas Chachamim hu. Rather, it's a Tekanas Chachamim, the Nemon, the Ein Ze Akira Dover Min HaTorah, and this is not a violation of Akira Dover Min HaTorah, right? This is not a violation of uprooting something from the Torah. Kiven shedoma hadavar hagun lahamin. Kamo shefar shel kama bepirkin shebedavar sheyesh ksas tam v'smach lo chashiv oker davar min haTorah. Because it is similar to her to us believing things in general, right? For like we'll see later on, Yevamos daf pei tesam beis, which is a little unclear what he is referring to. Shebedavar sheyesh ksas tam v'smach lo chashiv oker min haTorah. That when something has a little bit of a tam and a little bit of a smach, a little bit of something to be relied on, lo chashiv oker davar min haTorah. That is not considered to be Oker Davar Min HaTorah. So what is that talking about? So let's just define Oker Davar Min HaTorah. So if they cover this, like pay tes yitzadi, like this is already... All right, so there's about two dafim here trying to figure out what the story is with this issue of Oker Davar Min HaTorah. You have to uproot something from the Torah. So we are somewhat used to uprooting things from the Torah. Classic example that the Rabbanan have the power to uproot things from the Torah, even on a permanent basis, and that would be like shofar on Rosh Hashanah, right? So that is a classic example of that the Torah says you're supposed to blow shofar, and the Rabbanan said, we're so concerned about some guy walking around with a shofar in his pocket on Shabbos that we're going to tell you not to blow it on Shabbos. And the truth is the Gemara at the end here, and that Tzadi, later on, after going through a bunch of these sugyas and flipping back and forth, trying to figure out, do we have a proof that we could see you could be Oker Davar Min HaTorah and rejecting all of them for various reasons? So it comes up with this idea that Shevi Al Taseh Shaini, right? That if it's a Oker Davar Min HaTorah, but Shevi Al Taseh, if the Rabbanan are just telling you to sit down and don't do anything, so that the Rabbanan seem to have the permission to do. So Amar Lei, so he says, oh, once he came up with that breakthrough of the difference between Shevi Al Taseh versus Kumvaseh, say. So Amar Lei, Bailusvi Arel Haza Ismael Sadam Batsis Kipshiatzeres Shofar and Lulav. That I was going to ask about all of these different things. Off the top of my head, I'm not sure what all of them are. Shofar Lulav, that has to do with Shabbos. Sadam Batsis is the takana against wearing linen garments with wool techeles. Plus, we weren't sure the wool techeles was really the techeles. The Ismael has to do with the Mila, right? Mila on Shabbos, that we said better to everybody just stay where they are rather than do the Mila on Shabbos if everything's not together in the same place, whatever the other ones are. But anyways, so all of those are example laws. Shevi Altasa Lomi Akahu, that if it's Shevi Altasa, all the Rabbanah are telling you, sit still and don't do anything, even though that's going to lead to a violation of the Torah, Kulu Nami, that's okay. That we accept. So, fine. That we accept. And then the Gemara has one other example here, where it says, Tashma Olin Alav Tishmu, right? Vafilu Omer L'cha Avar Al-Achas Mikol Mitzvos Shabbator, that you have to listen to him. That's the pasuk, that's the last pasuk in Sefer Vayikra, where it says you got to listen to the Navi. Maybe I would think, Omer L'cha Avar Al-Achas Mikol Mitzvos, even you have to listen to everything that a Navi says. For example, even Eliyahu on Har Carmel, where he told people to do Kachim B'chutz, and they weren't seem to allow to. Akol Afi Shash Shamo, listen to him. The shiny hasam, no, that's different. Dechsev a lav tishmuun. That was it says, no, you should listen to him specifically in that case. So the ligmar mina, he says, so maybe we should learn out from that, and therefore say, if a navi comes and says, you know, whatever you need to do, even if it's okidav minator v'kum ba'asei in a positive way, no, migdar milsa shiny. That in that specific scenario, that was a once in a lifetime, once in a ever time situation where Eliyahu Navi felt that he needed to go ahead and do this. I'm not sure if we assume that Eliyahu had a nevuah to do that. I think Eliyahu just said to do it, I think. Right?
I believe so.
Right? I think that's our...
I think he did. It says it was Al-Piyadimur.
It was Al-Piyadimur? Okay, so part of it is putting them together anyways. The idea of a Navi and a Chacham both telling you to do things, we A, have to listen, but B, only under certain circumstances, not when they're trying to change the Torah. So Eliyahu Navi was, so that case is a case of Migdar Milsa, so that's the case that we're going to accept it. Okay, so just trying to figure out what this Tosos is saying. So Tosos seems to be saying that the Oraisa, they would not be accepted. The Rabbanon came along and said, not that we're being, that it's just straight up the Rabbanon and saying, and we're going to rely on this concept called Afkinu Rabbanon Kedushin Minei. But rather, he says, no, because it's somewhat like Idin D'Oraisa, and it's somewhat connected, it's not considered to be Oker Davi Minotaur. Okay, that's the line they're trying to figure out. Trying to look around a little bit. Nobody seems to like really talk about this very much.
which Din D'Oraisa says it's similar to?
What is it similar to? So probably it means that it's similar to... So one second. So the Chazon Ish, So Chazon Ish seems to say that, Tosfos is really just saying the same thing as the Ritva. That he's really just saying that, what does it mean, davar hadoma, that it's connected to other dinim, in that the rabbanon have the power to establish what those dinim are. So it's davar hadoma to shnayim edim, just as shnayim edim would be, what?
Like, it's efficient. I mean, one eid is as good as two if the eid really knows what he's talking about.
Right, that's what he's saying. So yes, it's true that the pasuk itself only talks about two edim, but two edim mean... To us, it really means something that we're absolutely sure about. So if we're absolutely sure about it in the absence of two edim, so then that would be enough to rely on. So that's the way the Chazon Ish understands Tosfos, is pretty much just putting him in the Ritva's camp. It is interesting that the Chazon Ish, right, the big heter, the big Chol of Yisrael heter, what's it based on, that if in America that we... one could be either makbid on Chalav Yisrael. I want to be careful with my words here, but if we're makbid on Chalav Yisrael, that means that we're makbid on that all the Chalav is milk with a hashkacha. And if you are what we call not makbid on Chalav Yisrael, that means that we're relying on the FDA to do the hashkacha for us. So in America, we generally, growing up, I always thought, it was Rav Moshe's heter. So it's not. So then I remember going to. I was at an RCA convention a little while ago, and Rabbi Ganak, right, the king of Chol of Stam, right, because he's the head of the OU, so he keeps referring to it as the heter of the Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish has the exact same heter that Rav Moshe does, with the same sources. I don't, date-wise, I'm not sure what it is, but the Chazon Ish says the same exact thing, that the whole concept of milking, of requiring a Jew to be there, is that the Jew needs to be giving hashkacha. So it means that the Jew has to be watching every single moment that the milk is coming out, and that's not what it means. It means that you have to be absolutely sure. So the Chazon Ish says, so if you could be absolutely sure without a person actually being present right then, so that would be sufficient to not have that takana of stam. Therefore, we can be makel by that. The truth is, not really a connection, but it's the same concept, right? The same concept of that if you can define the testimony in this way, so then that would be sufficient. So
you could also use cameras and under having ideas in reality what's going on.
That's true. The Chazon Ish has, specifically the Chazon Ish or in general?
I was saying in general, this morning we were talking about this exact concept of using a camera for Yichud.
Yes, so the Chazon Ish is actually a big makel in Hilchos Yichud. I don't remember, it might be the same thing.
Yeah.
You had this, specifically
the Chazon Ish?
Yeah,
in that sense.
What?
Yeah, we mentioned that. Tribbetz gave a shir on Hilchos Yichud last week, and he was the whole thing based on the Chazon Ish and all these kulos.
Ah, okay. So I don't remember what they all are, but I do remember that. Like, that's a keep that. Chazon Ish is a big makel when it comes to Hilchos Yichud. It could also right. So some of this might be the same. Might have the same thinking going on. Okay. So what could this? Shachter sort of in his first sefer when he discusses this, like says, yeah, the Chazon Ish says that it's really like the Ritva. He just like pushes it away. Like he's like. I don't think that's what Tosus is saying. It's hard to read into the words. Tosus himself is not using that language of, oh, therefore it's like Doraisa. Tosus is specifically saying that it's not Doraisa. It's only a Din Durabon. So how does that work that the Urbanon could come along and say that, yes, we know that the Torah would not permit you to go ahead and get married, but we're going to say that you could go ahead and get married. So the Gemara goes on and gives two dafim of examples of kumvase versus shevi al tase, and the Gemara ultimately comes to the conclusion that the Urbanon have the right to be okur dav min haTorah b'shevi al tase. But the topic that got the whole thing ball rolling never answers. It never says, but wait a second, isn't that an example of this issue? So it's relying on this line of Mishumi Guna Ikula Barabanan, Mishum Right Basofa Kata Leha Betchila, and that's all that and that's all that we have to go on. So Rav Shachter suggests in a couple of places, putting this together, that if we look at the very end of Kuntres Divrei Sofer, we could start from there. That Kuntres Divrei Sofer from Rav Elchanan, that's Chelek Beis of the Kovetz Shurim, so he talks about the various concepts of Torah Shebal Peh. So he talks about, and he doesn't really quote the pasuk here, but the pasuk of that you alo sasser min hachachamim asher yirilucha alimin lusma. I forgot the exact pasuk, but the chachamim don't violate what the Torah tells you, even to the right or to the left. So what does it mean to the right or to the left? So even if they tell you what's right is left and what's left is right, so you still have to follow the divrei chacham. So what does that mean? So the quick answer that most people that we give is, well, that if Beis Din gives a particular psak, so you have to follow that psak even if you know that it's wrong. To do this, that's not correct lahalacha. That in the beginning of Horios, that if you know that the Rabban are giving a psak that is incorrect, so you are mechuyev to not follow that psak. Now, how do you reconcile that with Zakin Mamri, so you got to reconcile that somehow with Zakin Mamri somehow, but that is the din. So rather, what Rav Elchanan suggests at the end here is uveikra kushya nal, right? Me asifri lebraisa di Yerushalmi perakam dehorios haya, right? So how do we resolve that issue? So efshar lomar lula divrei haramban did rasha de sifri afilu yomer lchal smol shehu yamin kai al akira davar min haTorah. This is really talking about akira davar min haTorah that the rabbanon have. Sometimes a responsibility even to be okur davar min haTorah. So when they tell you what is right, even if they tell you what's right is left, meaning they tell you right, that the Torah is telling you to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, and yet the Rabbanan are telling you not to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Raisa Yerushalmi kai al perusheyem b'divrei haTorah atzma kamo shekasav haRam b'Hilchos Maimrim sheim yom racham she basar of aser b'chalav min haTorah hein overin al bal tosef. Aval Yichol and Lomar, that the Rabbanim could say, are not allowed to say that chicken and milk is an Issur Doraisa. But what they are allowed to say is that even though min haTorah it is permissible to eat chicken and milk, Mikol Makom Midivrehem Aser, that the Chum said it was going to be Aser. V'hachan Avisa, so to who? Im Yomru Shesadden Pater Betzitzis min haTorah. If they would go ahead and tell you that linen garments are exempt from tzitzis, so you wouldn't listen to them, right? That's not true. He says, "Achi yomru al yamin shehu yamin, aval im yomru da'aft min ha'Torah sadin chayiv tzitzis." That even though min ha'Torah linen garments are chayiv tzitzis, mikol makom midivrehem patruhu. They're rabbanon, we exempt them. Al ze amra Torah afil yomru l'cha al smol shehu yamin. So that's what the Torah meant by saying that even if they tell you is right is left and left is right, meaning that they tell that we know that it's a mitzvah and the rabbanon are telling you to not do it. So we still have a responsibility to listen to it. Kedrashas is free. The efshar shafilu das haramban. The drashas is free. Kai al divrei Torah atzma mikol makom yishlomer degam akiras davar min haTorah nichleles bedrasha zos. That akira davar min haTorah is included in this drasha. Meaning, even if the Ramban is right that's talking about that you can't go against the chamim even if you know that they're wrong, even right. But still, this concept would still exist. Umikan lamdu sheyesh lechachamim koach lachor davar min haTorah afilu bekum vaasei lechad mandamar. Even possibly, bekum va'asei, l'chad man damar. What?
The examples that you just gave are all shevel.
Correct. But he's saying that there are shitos that would say that even possibly bekum va'asei. Now, I'm not sure what he's referring to. There's no footnotes on the, but it might be this case.
Yeah, that whole sugya, it doesn't say explicitly, but it's clear there is a machlokas. And they're just being dochal the raya, saying, no, it's all shevel ha'asei. But the other person who's giving all the rayas obviously thinks...
Right. There's somebody on the other side. Yeah. And by the way, Yerushalmi holds that way too. Not that I found it inside, but you keep seeing allusions to this Yerushalmi out there. The Yerushalmi says that you could be okur davar min haTorah, even the Chum potentially could be okur davar min haTorah, afilu bekum va'asei. So how does that resolve itself? So now I go to the back, I'll show you just a small piece from the end of Rav Shechter's article on this topic. So he suggests the following. So he says, Tama davar l'chal. So why are we distinguishing between Shevi Altas and Levain? Before we do that, this Gemara on the bottom is somewhat relevant because the Gemara tells us, the Gemara here, on the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Beis Amid Beis, so the Gemara there is discussing which Mem Nun Tzadi Pei Chaf, which letter is a letter Sofit. Those are the letters that are letters Sofit, right? That they have different types of letters, right? The mem, the nun, the tzai. That's what the Gemara is talking about. So, and the Gemara there makes a comment about like the chachamim figuring that out or inventing it or something. So the Gemara says, "V'tispara, really? You're telling me that the chachamim just like made that up somehow, right? V'haksiv, right? Ve'ela hamitzvos she'ein navi rishai l'chadesh davar me'ata, right? Ve'ela mitzvos. These psukim. That's this pasuk at the end of Vayikra that a navi is not permitted to be mechadesh anything." What does it mean to be mechadish something? So that's then the crux of this issue. He distinguishes between a chiddush versus a something that seems to be following along with the rest of the attitude that the Torah seems to have. So now we head into Sif Zion here, where he says, "V'nira shekein." So what's the difference between shevi altase and kumbase? He says, "Shekein hevinu atosus begeder ahevdil shevin akira davar min haTorah b'shevi altase lebin kumbase debazen nechelku amoraim." That this is what the amoraim were arguing about. Yakira b'kum va'asei tamid nidon kechiddush davar. Is kum va'asei always considered to be a chiddush? The chedavar hasoser es haklal. That's like something that goes against the klal. Example of a chiddush that he gives, and I saw others give this as well, is Edom Zomim. That's a classic example. The Gemara itself calls a chiddush, right? The Gemara tries to bring a proof from Edom Zomim, and at some point the Gemara says, no, you can't use Edom Zomim as a proof because it's a chiddush. Why is it a chiddush? Because normally, what's Edom Zomim? You have two Edom come and say, we saw Reuven kill Shimon, and then two other Edom come and say, you couldn't have seen Reuven kill Shimon because you were with us that day. So what happens? So the original Edom get killed and the second Edom are considered heroes. What about if the scenario was, we saw Reuven kill Shimon, and the other group comes along and says, you couldn't have seen Reuven kill Shimon because we saw Levi kill Shimon. And therefore we're correct. So who's right then? What happens in that case? So the two Edom nullify each other and everybody walks home free. So why? What's the difference, right? If one group is lying, they're lying. If they're not, right? What changed? The answer is Edom Zomim is a specific. That's Xeris Hakasav. The rule is Treyu Trey Batel, that you have two Edom going against each other. They end up knocking each other out. But there's a Chiddush. There's this new idea that's out there that, oh, by Edom Zomim in that particular circumstance, then we're going to say that we're going to. Then we're going to say that the first group of Edom are going to get in a whole heaps of trouble and we're going to believe the second Edom over the first group of Edom. That's considered a chiddush. So what's the difference between Rav Shechter suggests that when it comes to a Kum va'aseh, a kum va'aseh is going to be, by definition, is going to be a chiddush. That's what the machlokas is about. If you assume that you'd be okadav min haTorah, but kum va'aseh, so you say, yeah, okay, that could fit in with everything else. But if it's, but if you say you can't, that's because by definition, a kum va'aseh, to actively go against the Torah, that's automatically going to be considered a chiddush. Ulmaskana kaimelan. So the Gemara concludes that dafka lahora shah ulmigdar milsahu v'lo chashuv kum vaasei kechiddush davar. That's only in certain circumstances and one time deal that we would say that a kum vaasei would be considered that we wouldn't consider it to be like a chiddush. Aval ledoros, but if it's something that's going to be set up for all generations, kol akir b'kum vaasei chashiv kechiddush davar. So any time we're going to be akir davar min haTorah v'kum vaasei, that's automatically going to be considered a chiddush. Except for, potentially, this example of Davar Doma, this Tosos, which ends up being the source. Right? Uvezei yesh lahavin es dasa Tosos shekasu b'kam mekomos, shebedavar hadoma yesh koch b'yadcham laka davar min haTorah afilu b'kum va'aseh l'doros. Then a situation where the kum va'aseh is following the pattern of other dine d'oraisas, so then you could say that even though it's only a din d'rabanan or a takana d'rabanan, it could violate the Torah b'kum va'aseh, because it still is not considered to be completely unusual, and it still is following within the pattern of the rest of the Torah. The chol atam da'ach milsa dein koach lakor b'kum va'aseh hu mishum d'chashuv kechiddush davar. Because any time, the whole reason that we say that the chacham don't have the ability to be oker davar min haTorah b'kum va'aseh, that's because the chash, that's considered a chiddush, and it's like something that violates the rest of the Torah. But if you could find a principle in the Torah that it seems to be replicating enough, so then you could say, all right, the Rabbanan have the ability, it's a din d'Rabbanan, to be oker davar min haTorah b'kum va'aseh, because they feel that that's necessary to do, even though because it's considered to be within the pattern of the rest of the Torah sufficiently for that. So that is his chiddush. The truth is, he's still left a little bit with, okay, so what's the mechanism? Meaning, if it really is a din d'Rabbanan, so what is the mechanism? So is it just the Rabbanan are telling you that for the Mishumi Guna, Ikula Barabbanan, we're going to be Mekel, and that's it. That, yeah, the Torah might say that you're not supposed to be married, and we're going to say that you should be, because it's Davar Adoma, and that's considered to be, and the Rabbanan have enough power to be able to do that even within the realm of Arayas, or then maybe you'd have to slide into the Rashi of Avkinu Rabbanan Kedusha, maybe, but I don't see any evidence that you need to do that. They're just saying that's the din.
What's the thing that's similar to? What's the Davar Adoma?
To Edus, to regular Edus, to two Edom.
If we can get around two Edom through some other way in other situations,
right?
Then here also.
Exactly right?
So the Ritva says it's din d'oraisa. Tosu says din d'rabbanan. The Rabbanan said that's considered sufficient. Where did the Rabbanan get this power from? The Rabbanan are very powerful. Right, they have a lot of power, and the Torah endows them with that power, right? They're very powerful because the Torah gave them that amount of power, the power from Losasser. So there's
meaning it would come out that really the Rabbanan could probably do anything they want, and the whole machlokas about
well, they can't do it. It can't be a chiddush.
No, I think they could. They have the ability to. The whole everything we're talking about is how much they're willing to.
How far they're willing to go.
If you answer, what's the mechanism? How do they do it? By saying that Losasser or some other pasuk, which I think I'm not sure if it's Losasser, but some pasuk that says that Chazal have the ability to be Oker Davar min haTorah. Everything, even Machlokes in the Gemara, simply can you be Oker, become Vaaseh or not? It's easy to understand it because they're just arguing about are they willing to do it? They have the ability to do everything in theory. I'm saying one could, I'm not saying there's Mukher. One could argue they have the ability to do everything. And we're just discussing how far they're going.
I don't know. You have to
figure that out right now.
You have to be very careful. There is a story when I was in Rosh Chodesh this year. So one year I sat like he used to here, and I sat well here at the end of the table here, right, facing the table. That's a different one from the picture. The next year for the picture I was here, but so the story goes. So one year Rosh Chodesh also made a comment once in Shir that he was discussing. Darshan time of Dekra, right? Whether you can look into the Torah and figure out what the reasons are, and then paskin based on those reasons, right? That, oh, I figured out the reason for the mitzvah is X, and therefore, because I understand that the reason for the mitzvah is X, so therefore we have the right to paskin halacha based on my understanding of the reason, right? So who holds Darshan time of Dekra? We know. Rav Shimon. Right, Rav Shimon holds Darshan time at the Kra. So I remember Shachter was in his comment that, yeah, Mislama Rav Shimon was a Reform rabbi. and so my jaw dropped, and apparently that was like the story. Like, everybody told the story, and you should have seen the way Yoni Gross's face looked as soon as he made that statement. Right? We figure out what the reasons are, we figure out what the underlying philosophy is, and therefore we're going to Paskin straight up. Right? So you got to be very careful, and it's also unclear, is this a takana or is this like a Dindar Rabbanan that's out there? Right? What power is necessary in order for this to take place? So I did notice yesterday reading somebody that I think the discussion is had, and it could be that different towns might have different rules, meaning there might be different batei dinim that are going to come up with different regulations as to how you're going to invoke this. And nowadays it's like hard to imagine that would be the case, but that's the way it was. That different towns had different batei dinim came up with different rules as to where this would be invoked. But how far it goes, I don't know. There's two other. If you look on the side of that of Tosfos here on Peichas Amar Aleph, so the Gilyon Hashas gives you about 8 makoros on this, seven or eight gemaras where he alludes to. Some of them are only Shevi Al Taza. I think I went through all of them. I can only find two or three other examples of where this is actually seems to be invoked in a similar way every time by the Reis. So one of them is a Tosfos, two dafim later, right, on Pei Tes Amad Beis. So this is probably when Tosfos says, as we allude to on Pei Tes Amad Beis, and doesn't really tell you what he's talking about, he's probably talking about this din, that the halacha, right, it's discussing hilchos of nisuin that's only taking place on a level of derabanan, that such a concept would exist, that we would say, oh, therefore you're only going to be married on a level of derabanan. So the Gemara asks, well, wait a second, what if the Kohen is the one married to his wife on a level of derabanan? Right, so what happens in that, so and then the woman dies. So how would that, why is that okay? Right. So the woman dies. So therefore, can the husband go to the funeral? Husband not. So saying according to the Gemara says yes, that he could go to the funeral. So how is he able to go to the funeral? So we assume, well, the woman's a meis mitzvah. That's what we call her. She's a meis mitzvah. How is she a meis mitzvah? There's plenty of other people that could go ahead and bury her. Yeah, but come on, she's going to get married, and her husband's not going to be able to be present. How is that possible? So Tosfos here makes the comment that the Re explains about five lines from the bottom here. Probably put it here as well. Yeah, Venira Lari. Right, Venira Lari. The Mishum Di Yaris La Lo Havya Meis Mitzvah. That just because he inherits her, he's not considered a Meis Mitzvah. That just because there's a connection in terms of the monetary issue doesn't mean that she's necessarily a Meis Mitzvah. El Mishum Di Ish Koach Biyad Chachamim Lakor Davar Shehu Min HaTorah BeDavar Hadoma Kedvirash Dileil. As I explained earlier. Now, in both places, he is telling you, as I explained the other place, and neither place, he really explains very well. But as we explained in that din, right, the came delo yarsi la doma la meis mitzvah, umiyu ena meis mitzvah gamor. That because of the inheritance, came delo yarsi la doma, it would be compared to a meis mitzvah, but it's not like she's really a meis mitzvah. All right, meis mitzvah is there's nobody else around to bury her. But yet, Tosfos is willing to say, all right, but we're going to matir a din doraisa because it's kind of like a meis mitzvah, even though it doesn't really fulfill all the rules and regulations of a meis mitzvah. And the other, that is also found in Tosfos Maseches Nazir, makes a similar point, the same thing with the Eidus Isha. And there's also a Gemara in Avodah Zarah that makes a similar point as well. Zamar, that the Gemara there makes a comment of Behema Tiakir, that if you have a Behema that is involved in Avodah Zarah dealings, so the Behema's got to get rid of. So the Gemara asks, Vaha Ika Tsar Bali Chayim. So don't you file, isn't that going to, right? Why, what'd the animal do, right? So the animal got its ass to suffer because of your crazy Avodah Zarah restrictions. So Amar Abai says, Amar Achmana, Isu Seyam Tiakir. He says, well, we see there's a pasuk in Yehoshua that Yehoshua commanded that the horses had to be destroyed when they were conquering Eretz Yisrael. So the Tosef asks, so Hiksha Rav Elchanan, if you assume Tsar Bali Chaim is an Isser Doraisa, so Ma Raya Maisi Mi Yehoshua, how could you bring a Raya from Yehoshua, Dilma Shaini Hasan, Da Pi Divarava? Says that was Horasha, or a Nevuah specifically for that case. Raya Valhacha Biknas Derabanan, Ein Koch Biarcham Lakar Dav Min HaTorah. But here, it's not that the animal was involved in Vodazar, it's the animal was involved in a deal involving something having to do with the Avodah Zarah. It was bought on 2 days before Yontif or something, before their Yontif. Something like that. So you got to get rid of the animals. How could that be? So Tosos answers, V'yishlomer devadei sheish koch b'yadam lakor hecha denira tam ktsas lakor. That they have the ability to be okar davar, bekumva asei, right? It's a kumva asei. You're killing the animal. You're actively killing the animal. So you have the right to be able to do that. K'nimuchach v'peraka isha rabba, based on our Gemara, gai misini isha al piedacha, based on the fact that we could permit a woman to get married based off of 1 aid, just as we allow the woman to actively go ahead and get married based off of 1 aid, which is a dinder aban, it's going to be the same thing here. He doesn't use the term davar hadoma, but that essentially would be what he would be saying. It's considered enough within the character and hashkafa of Kaisel to be able to go ahead and do that. I would just say, and I was thinking, one of the ways of dealing with all of the the quote-unquote immoral mitzvos, right? Killing all of the zayinamim, all those types of things that have major that have tainas on it. So there was an article in an Orthodox forum. Rabbi Lamb wrote an article years ago where he addresses these issues, and he says, and there is. This is just off the top of my head. There is a machlokas at the end of Masechta Sanhedrin about whether to invoke kulas when it comes to these things. For instance, irnidachas. Irnidachas sounds like horrible, right? You're taking an entire city and destroying everything, men, women, and children. So there's a machlokas we've shown him in the back of the Yad Ramah versus, I forget, about whether you invoke kulas in that. I mean, do we say, oh, well, this is so difficult, right? So therefore we're going to try to figure out kulas to avoid going through this. Well, another opinion is, what do you mean? Safik d'oraisa l'chumra, right? We should go ahead and it's a mitzvah like all other mitzvahs. So what drives the position to say that it's not a mitzvah like all other mitzvahs? So Rabbi Lamb has an article where he says, because it seems to be going against many of the other principles that we have in Torah. Right? We have other principles of valuing life. Right? We have other mitzvahs of valuing tzar bali chaim and all other types of things that it certainly fits within our values. So therefore, it says, it's not that we're, it's a tzar bali, it's this and we're having like foreign, like our personal sensibilities don't allow us to go ahead and kill all of Amalek. It's our own value system, our own Torah value system is keeping us from going ahead and doing that. So based on that, that would perhaps then invoke those various kulas. That perhaps could slide into this as well. That is, it's the Torah's motivation itself that is driving these types of comparisons and fitting within that, so therefore maybe it would not be considered to be an oker davar min haTorah in the same way that other things might be considered to be oker davar min haTorah.
Why say it in the first place?
What do you mean?
To like destroy a city or destroy...
No, it is a mitzvah. The question, it is a mitzvah. The question just is, how far do we... There are, as you get into halacha, so then there's like the details on the side. So do you have the right to be make? Do we say, we're going to look for kulas, just like this? Bishumi guna kula rabbanon. Who says? Why? She let her husband go overseas. Let her suffer, right? So that our own idea of being nice to the almanas and things like that. So that is giving us the hashkafa to say no, that we do try to avoid these types of situations, and therefore we're going to look and search for kulas to be able to figure out how that should be done. All right, yashakoa, thank you.